Jamie and Locker with you on the Green Zone. AC/DC, not in the top 10 of Rolling Stone's top 50 rock bands of all time. Not in the top 10. They're in the top 20, not in the top 10.
Those lists are ridiculous.
They had Beatles number one. How dare they? I'm kidding. I was kidding.
Tell Drew what was number seven.
Do we have to?
That's why you're bringing it up.
Get in the fast lane, Grandma. The bingo game is ready to roll.
It's time to drop the gloves.
Let him into the box. Whoa! Watch the box, you Ty. Watch the box.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It's a beautiful day.
Number seven. Drew Remenda. Number seven, greatest rock band ever.
Rolling Stone has become a facade of what it used to be. It used to be anti-establishment. It used to be F the government. And it used to be they were always going to bring the wild side of life. And they used to be actually revolutionary a little bit in the way that they do things. Now they're the most woke garbage frickin' magazine out there. They can take it and take that number seven and turn it upside down and shove it exactly where you think I'm going to say they should shove it. You don't put AC/DC in the top 10. Okay. You know what? It's a good day today. I'm going to go.
Surprised they didn't make Creed in the top five.
Good point.
I don't even think I didn't even see if they're in the top 50.
I didn't even look at it. I refused to.
Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to add a little bit of perspective to the Connor Bedard controversy this week of the autograph seekers hounding him down the street. You are with teams. How often are autograph seekers hounding you for your signature outside of hotels?
All me? Yeah, every day. Listen, they are, I don't know how they do it, but they figure it out. They are the autograph seekers, and it's not the legit kids with their mom and dad there that want an autograph. That's not who it is. The autograph seekers are guys with cards, and they're going on eBay. These are collectors who are trying to make for a profit. The majority of them, not all of them. They're at every hotel. It doesn't matter what time we get in to that hotel, what time we drive up, they are there.
Is Macklin
going on for years?
Is Macklin getting it too, like Connor is?
Yeah. Now, Connor Bedard gets it. Connor McDavid was, and Joe Thornton were the two that I saw get hounded the most. But I also saw Connor McDavid and Joe do extraordinary things when they saw it was legit just for a kid. So I don't have any problem with Connor Bedard. Listen, you're under no obligation to sign an autograph. If it's for legit things, and sometimes those guys are back. They're there when you leave for the morning skate. They're there when you come back for the morning skate. They're there at the bus when you're leaving for your hotel for the game. And they're there at the next hotel when you're arriving 2 a.m. after maybe a loss. But I saw Connor McDavid. We were in Winnipeg, and Winnipeg was late, like 2 a.m, and it was freaking freezing out. And just outside the FBO where we drove up, there was a dad with his son, little guy, and wanted an autograph. And Connor went out of his way to walk over the fence, sign the autograph for the little guy, posed. They were behind the fence. It was secure, obviously. Couldn't do much as far as the posing goes. But I saw Connor do that. I saw Joe Thornton walk around everybody and the bus, two buses, around everybody because he saw a little guy that had his jersey and sign it, pose for pictures, talk to him for a while, and then get on the bus. And Joe was not a big autograph guy. So I don't have a problem with the players, especially if you're getting chased down the block. Like, it's ridiculous.
Get a life. What are you doing? Like,
it's again, if it's legit, hey, I'm a really big fan. I got no problem with it whatsoever, and I think the player should sign then, and they all do. I've never seen a player refuse to sign for a little guy or a girl that wants their autograph.
The problem, the problem I have with it is you got guys like those autograph seekers. They're just going to ruin it for everybody else because there's going to be a point where guys are like, I'm not signing anything. Well, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances, right?
I'm going to disagree with you.
And would you blame
them? Hockey players are notoriously great guys. They won't sacrifice the real innocent fan for just because they've signed three or four for the. I think it's just the hockey players are such a tremendous group of individuals that they know what's who to sign for and who not to sign for.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Pope was on with us yesterday out of Chicago, and he's like, "Well, I'll tell a story of at a practice where the Blackhawks come off. It's not like it's accessible for autographs.
No,
you have to.
No.
So there was a school group or something, and Connor stood there, and they kept on throwing stuff down at him, and he's catching it, and he's signing it, and he's throwing it back up at him, and there you're like, here's a hat, and he's signing it. Well, we told the story when he was a Regina Pat. He sat there for like 4 hours at an autograph. They had to shut the line down. There were so many people getting his autograph. It was only supposed to be like 2 hours, and he sat there for four, signing
some of these guys,
Pats fans as he could.
Are getting deals now too, right? Which makes it a little bit more muddies the waters a bit, where
both Connors do. McDavid and Bedard have upper deck deals and Fanatics deals. And
so they're
stuff
only
like that.
Signing stuff like that now, right?
But anyways, I knew Drew had probably a better perspective than we did on what he sees with these guys with the autograph seekers around the National Hockey League. We'll take a quick timeout and we'll get into it. It's American Thanksgiving, and you know what that means, Drew. Only 75% of the teams in the playoffs today will be in the playoffs when it rolls around. Which four teams will climb into a playoff spot? Drew Remenda's predictions, because he loves doing predictions, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Drew Remenda's our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone as the tradition continues. 75% of teams in a playoff spot on American Thanksgiving are in a playoff spot at the end of the season. Last year, it was bang on. 75%. Four teams went in and out of the playoffs.
I think the numbers are going to be very different this year.
You think so? I'm just going to go with history on this one, Drew. But with the parity in the National Hockey League this year, do you think this tradition is going to continue on the only four teams out of a playoff spot will get into the playoffs this season?
First of all, Mr. Bettman doesn't like the word parity. He likes competitive balance.
What's the difference? Balance. It's the same thing.
He likes the phrase competitive balance. So when Mr. Bettman says it, we have to abide by it. Jamie knows that.
Okay, Gare Bear.
I knew you were going to say that. The interesting thing is, if you look at the Eastern Conference, the five teams who are below the wild card number in the Eastern Conference all have 25 points. I think it's Pittsburgh, Columbus, Montreal, I think
Florida.
Florida
and Philly.
They've all got 25 points. And they've all played, with the exception of Columbus, one less game. Or sometimes two less games. So that the Eastern Conference to me is a little bit muddy. The Western Conference is almost as muddied. I mean, I know you guys have been talking about the Oilers today, and is Connor and Leon, are Connor and Leon what can drag them into the playoffs? Who knows? You better start taking care of the puck first and start taking care of defensive zone coverage before you worry about anything else.
But get a new goalie.
That's not, no,
it's more than the goal.
Get a new goal.
It's more than the goal. Locker, it was such garbage defensive play last night.
You need a stop.
Ridiculous.
You need a good stop.
No. Oh,
they get behind.
Stop. Locker.
They need
stop
a good stop.
Like every other.
I'll help them pack.
On the planet.
I'll help them pack.
Like, it's always somebody. You want to go? You just go over. Look at those goals.
Well, Sammy's address. I did this already today with Locker, and he won't listen to me. One is a giveaway at the blue line. He comes straight in, goes bar down. One's a cross ice pass, open net. Like, come on. And then the other one's on a power play. So, goodness gracious.
Okay. So anyway. So you look at the listen. I'll tell you the way that the San Jose Sharks are playing now. They're downplaying the hell out of everything right now. Talking about playoff talk, but in the last 15 games. Do you know how many goals the San Jose Sharks have given up? 15 games, 32. In November, Yaroslav Askarov has a .958 save percentage, and he's got 7 wins. Dostal's got pretty much the same numbers. And on the penalty kill, Yaroslav Askarov's save percentage is .981. and they are ahead of just they're in that last spot for the just below the cut line. So
that's not a bad goal differential either. Right? You're like 68 versus 72. Yeah,
but, well, that's the other thing though. When you start looking at the goal differential, that's where I always go there first. And the Mammoths, the Kings, the Sharks, the Oilers are one of the worst goal differentials. Couple other teams in the West.
In them, yeah.
They're in the red when it comes to goal differential. The game, Bednar said it today. Ryan Rosofsky said it today because the Sharks are in Denver tonight. So it's all about checking this game. Even though the Colorado Avalanche score like crazy, it's all about checking. So I think the West is probably a little bit more
a little bit more separation. Yeah.
Yeah, but. The East is still, I think, it's a puzzle in the East.
But you're right, though, that they keep referring it to as the mucky middle. That's what I'm suggesting might throw off this Thanksgiving sort of theory in the NHL this year. Is there in the East and in the West? There's a lot of teams just sitting right there. Like we just had we had Kipper on.
Nick Kiprios. Yeah.
And he was like, you have a good week and you're back in a playoff spot, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about the Leafs, who are dead last in the Atlantic.
I talk about a team that's not playing very well and doesn't believe in each other. That's one of them. But when you look at this league is, you know, we're still in November, but Jamie is right. History has proven that the start of the season, the first 2 months of the season is very, very important because 75%, that's a large chunk of teams, but you still do have room for some, you've still got wiggle room, without a doubt. Injuries play a part. Going on the hot streaks plays a part. Your goaltending, of course, plays a part. All kinds of things. So when you look at this, there are the classes of the league in each conference, in each division, but after that,
yeah,
you know, there is some fun races to keep your eye on.
So yesterday, Drew, I brought up a theory. It's actually a book, Eat That Frog, 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastinating. And I brought it up as sort of a philosophy for Jeremy O'Day and how he's got to deal with
free agency.
The free agency, right? Eat the little frogs before they get too big. And Jamie had no idea what I was talking about. Do you have any idea what that is?
I know what procrastination is. I am the world class. I'm probably the number one procrastinator.
Whoa. Fact, Drew, let's have a competition. Okay.
Okay. Listen, I'll tell you what, we'll have a competition, but let's do it tomorrow.
Drew wins.
So easy. But it's kind of the way that if you're a good coach, if you're a good general manager, that you have to, you want to clear your table and clear your plate and understand that there's other ways that you can do it. A lot of guys, some guys, we got to go get the big guy. Well, if the big guy is going to take the majority of time, I'm going to surround him with the players that we think are going to be the best players to help him be the big guy. And then I'm going to figure out how much money I have left.
See?
And then I'm going to be able to present it.
It's a perfect philosophy for what he's dealing with. I'm going to get Jeremy that book.
I don't think he needs. I think he's doing okay. He just won a Grey Cup.
Listen. I was, Jamie can tell you, I was a major critic of Jeremy O'Day for a lot of reasons, and most of them I was right at the time. But the guy
just figured it
around.
Out. He got that book.
Yeah. No,
is that what it was?
What he did was, what's his most important job? Hiring the head coach.
Right, you just took the words out of my mouth.
He knocked it out of the park. With yep. Corey Mace.
Yeah.
And then from there, built a good team.
Yeah, and Jamie, you said it from day one. You were happy that it was going to be Corey Mace. They interviewed a lot of guys. We kept those rumors going. But without the rumors, we kept the information flowing. But without a doubt, it was Corey Mace. You could just tell. I mean, just when the first day we talked to him, he was phenomenal.
The Riders posted a video last night. Before the Grey Cup, they showed Corey the video of him getting the job when his first... And Corey broke down talking about what it meant for him. He just wants to see guys celebrate. That's what it was all about for Corey Mace. Go find that video. It's something else.
Do you remember the other guy that told us that? Pinball Clements. Remember
Pinball.
That?
Yeah, who's now trying to
tamper.
to get Corey Mace to be his head coach. But anyways, we'll leave that.
Yeah.
But Drew, we'll leave it there. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, because tomorrow's Thanksgiving, by the way.
Eat some frogs.
Yeah, we're watching some football tomorrow as well here on the Green Zone. I'm not eating frogs. Stop telling us to eat frogs. Disgusting. In the curling world, we know the final three in the women's seed in the Canadian trials. It is Rachel Homan, number one, goes to the best of three final. The semifinal will be Christina Black against Carrie Anderson. We'll find out the final three for the men's side tonight, but we do know Brad Jacobs is in the final. It's just figuring out who the semifinalists will be with Guju, McEwen, Cooey, and Dunstone all in the mix. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the Year of the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. I hope you're having a great Wednesday. What we're doing right now, we're cracking open the fan line, 1-877-332-8255. Woo! So give us a call because we want to chat about your Canadian NHL team. Because unless you're an Ottawa Senator fan, they're probably out of the playoffs right now.
Well, they are
out of the playoffs right now.
Everyone's outside looking in.
Except for Ottawa. They're the only team in Canada that's in the playoffs. 1-877-332-8255. Is your team going to make the playoffs? Of these six Canadian franchises, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg in the West, Toronto and Montreal in the East, of those six, who's making the playoffs? Because the statistics over the last 20 years are clear. On average, only four teams that are sitting on the outside looking in actually get into the playoffs as of American Thanksgiving, which is tomorrow. 1-877-332-8255. Are the Oilers getting in? Are the Leafs getting in? Are the Habs getting in? Who's going to make it into the Stanley Cup playoffs? Or who should be selling? The Vancouver Canucks. That's who should be selling, and it sounds like they are.
I want Sherwood. I'll take Sherwood off your hands. Send him to the Oilers.
He doesn't play goalie.
I know, but there's no goalies out there. As much as I'm willing to help Skinner pack, I'm free this weekend.
Listen to your captain, Connor McDavid.
I really feel like goaltending is a team thing. Tougher goalies to look good. When the group in front of them is not playing well, you know, I don't really care who it is. When the team in front of them is not playing up to their standards, then tough for a goalie to look good.
And let's be real on the Edmonton Oilers. Let me say this.
Connor has to say that. And it wouldn't be the first time someone lied to us at the workplace, because that never happens. Because we're all so truthful at work every day. I'm telling you right now, the issue I have with Skinner is, and Pickard for that matter, is they both don't get you the big save. I haven't seen it. I did in the playoffs. I saw them both stand on their heads. And I was defending the goaltending situation up until a couple of weeks ago. And I've been watching. And I'm seeing somebody that just has no... And listen, it probably is a team problem. He's not wrong.
Of course it is.
Look at this team.
But are the Edmonton Oilers...
Sometimes they're sacrificial lambs.
Are the Edmonton Oilers as good as they were last year? As a team? Is that roster as good as the roster they had last year?
No.
And then why are we surprised? Why are we surprised at where they're at?
Did I say I was surprised? I'm surprised they're outside of the playoffs.
You think they changed the goaltender and all of a sudden everything's going
to
be got.
I think yippee. They have to. I think they have to, and if they don't right now, I think they're going to be doing the same things that they're doing right now in February at the end of the Olympics as we lead into April and the playoffs. if they don't make a I think Stan has to make a serious, like, get everybody's attention move to shake this group up. And they've done it in the past, but it was always a coach. Right?
Like, I know Zach Hyman just got back in the lineup and you have Ryan Nugent Hopkins, but around them is,
I think they need a little bit more youth.
They've gotten younger.
I think they need to continue to take a chance on some of the young guys in the system. And I think they need to shake the tree. And I think the tree isn't Knobloch this time. I think it's a goaltender.
Or if they change the coach, that would be a massive mistake. Again, this, I don't think
that's the move.
Issue.
And you're not hearing Knobloch's name. They're talking about Craig Berube's coming up in Toronto as being in the hot seat.
Let's go to Michael in Saskatoon. Michael, of the Canadian teams on the outside looking in, who do you think will be there in the spring?
I think Montreal will be there. I don't think Toronto will be. Ottawa, maybe. Winnipeg, yes. Calgary, no. Edmonton, yes. Vancouver, no. But what's bothering me about the Oilers about
Winnipeg?
Yeah, he said Winnipeg.
Did you say Winnipeg? Sorry. Sorry, I missed you.
What's bothering me about the Oilers is, do you guys know the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and expecting different results?
That's why I want them to punt the goalie.
Exactly. Bring up, I said this last, and bring up the kid from Imperial, Connor Ingram. Give him a shot.
I think, you know, honestly, Michael, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. There are the St. Louis rumors. I don't think St. Louis, regardless of where they're at, gets rid of a Binnington. Like, I'm not going to hold my breath for that, but I would not be surprised if Ingram gets a shot with the big club.
He hasn't been great in Bakersfield.
No, and he's dealing with a lot of personal stuff too, right? So they may want to give him more time, but it's a move like that I think something severe needs to happen to shake up that room right now, right? And that usually works for them. You know, like, they got rid of Jay, and then all of a sudden the team turns around. It works. Sometimes it's a short-term fix. It seems to have had major impact.
Can you do that every 2 years to change the coach to light a spark? Like, I'm sorry, that means something's missing.
Well, I don't disagree with you, and I think
the most heat I have is Connor McDavid.
I don't think he's a great leader.
He's unfortunate. He's a sad baby right now, and his body language just reeks. It's awful.
It is. It's brutal.
But then last night, his post-game, this is what you got as the captain after an 8-3 loss?
I don't know. I don't have many answers for you here tonight. I don't know. I don't have any answers.
They're all frustrated. He's not good with the press anyway. Dreisaitl's worse. Like, he is so despondent. I mean, you can see
and those
that
are their
scrum.
Two biggest leaders. Those are their two biggest leaders, and that's what they see every day.
Look at that scrum
stuff.
Those guys are scared to go up to him. They're doing their job because they know they have to, but they're not.
You think Crosby would sit in front of the media after this and go, "I'm out. I'd have no answers for you. I don't have anything to tell you."
To be fair to these superstars, they're really good at hockey. It doesn't always mean they're great leaders or that they're great.
You're
wearing
the captain. You're the captain. You got a lead.
Who else are you going to give the captaincy to? Bouchard?
I'm not seeing it from Connor McDavid. Like, he is the leader. Yeah. He has to drag this team to where they need to go, and he's playing crap defensively, and he's not doing much. When he doesn't get the puck on offense, he looks like a school kid out there who's not getting past the puck. That there was a shift last night where it was worked around, and he said, and he just like, there's an offside, and he's just like, just pass me. You can tell he's just like, pass me the puck. Like, give me the puck.
I think one of
something. I'm like, Connor.
I think one of the
get the puck in the defensive end, man.
I heard Knobloch doing a long form. I think it was with John Shannon. I think it was 100% hockey, Millard and Shannon. And it was interesting to hear him talk about how difficult it is to put line mates together with McDavid, because guys don't play the way they're naturally built to play, because they're so intimidated by him, and he's so fast and he's so good that he's the hardest guy on the team. You would think that the best player in the world, I didn't even think of it from this perspective. You would think that the best player in the world, Jamie, would be easy to play with. It would make it easy. And it's harder because these guys get in their heads and they go, oh my goodness, I am playing with the best player in the world. What am I going to do? I got to do this. They overthink it. They stop playing the way they naturally play.
That's why Zach Hyman's the perfect line mate for him, because he can just stand in front of the net and he can bounce pucks off.
But look at what they're doing. Last 3-4 games, they got Hyman on his own line. When they're behind, they throw Hyman and Draisaitl up with McDavid to try to score some points. But they're still testing guys out. Savoy's doing okay. I don't mind the Savoy, because Savoy's at least fast and at least keeps up with McDavid. But McDavid gets frustrated with him as well, because Savoy likes to carry the puck.
1-877-332-8255. At American Thanksgiving, leading into tomorrow. So right now, there's only one Canadian team in the playoffs.
What do you think is who do you think is going to get in? We haven't heard you. Do you think Edmonton's going to make the playoffs or no?
No.
Do you think Winnipeg's going to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Calgary's out. Vancouver's out. Montreal.
I don't think so. They made a good run last year.
I think they can figure out their
team. I think Toronto will make it. They're five back. Like Boston, I think, might drop back. I'm not sure about Detroit.
You're taking Toronto ahead of Montreal.
Really?
Wow. I got Montreal ahead of Toronto. I got the Jets and Edmonton making the playoffs in the West. Because you got these teams are not in my. This is fool's gold. I'm sorry. The Ducks, Seattle, Los Angeles, Vegas, fine. Utah, again, there's a coin toss. San Jose is in the mix, and I can see them actually.
Well, the Jets jump over the Mammoth. That's where I'm at.
I'm sorry. Connor McDavid. And listen, I know this sounds like a homer thing to say. Everyone knows I'm a fan, but
the Ducks have allowed almost 30 goals fewer than the Edmonton Oilers. They're not fixing this in Edmonton. Their defensive play is not going to get better all of a sudden to that. But they are only 2 points out of a playoff spot.
I think they can.
1-877-332-8255. Any of these Canadian teams making the jump, let us know now here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. We're asking you, hockey fans, which Canadian team out of the playoff picture will be in the playoffs this spring. Mike, what do you think?
Hey, guys. Well, first off, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I mean, as far as Canadian teams go, well, first off in Winnipeg, it all depends on Hellebuyck, you know, and his health. He can turn a game around, as we all know. So they have the offense out there. But goaltending is a huge deal. Montreal, I think, will make a big comeback. Ottawa, they're kind of the 50-50 team, you know.
Really?
Other than that, I feel that three teams you could probably pencil in. The rest...
You think the Oilers and the Leafs will miss the playoffs this year?
Well, as far as the Oilers go, they're such an interesting team. So you look at last night's game. They have 20 turnovers. McDavid, Draisaitl combined for 3 shots on net. Dallas goes 3-for-4 on the power play. You watch the 8 goals. You watch the highlights. They're D-man. They're 1-on-1 coverage. They leave the guy, right?
That's Bouchard. Look for number 2 whenever you see that.
Well, absolutely, right? And then, you know, you got odd man rushes, you know, 2-on-1s. And a 2-on-1, we know, you know, a goalie, he's hung out to dry in the NHL. These guys are so good. They can pick their corners. You know, I just think the Oilers, I don't believe McDavid's a leader. You know, he's a great player on the ice.
I don't think he is either. I think he's
the best talent in the net. He's the best player on the planet.
Doesn't make him a great leader.
No doubt about that, Mike. You're absolutely right. And there are lapses in leader. His body language and Draisaitl's body language drags that team down. Those 100%. Young guys are looking at them and they're going, oh, they look like we're losing. We might as well give up.
100%.
That is not help.
You cannot have that.
Let's get to the 1 minute drill. Here's the latest in sports. You do have 15 games in the National Hockey League tonight. 15 because they all take tomorrow off for American Thanksgiving. And then there's 15 games on Friday as well. Only the Oilers are the Canadian team not on the ice tonight. The Canadian Olympic trials going on in Halifax. And the local skip, Christina Black, found herself in the playoffs. She won the tiebreaker thanks to the last stone draw tiebreaker on a three-way tie for the final playoff spot. Rachel Holman's first. She'll be in the best-of-three final. Carrie Anderson will take on Black in the semi. In the men's round robin, we know Jacobs is in the final. The other two spots for the semifinal tomorrow are up for grabs tonight. Dunstone is on the ice against McEwen. Guju plays Jacobs. Cooey might still be in the mix, but needs some serious help. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.